Greetings, New Year's pilgrims. This is Pastor Bob bringing you your launching pad for Friday, January 22nd. We made it to Friday. Another week and another weekend and another Sabbath. Amen. I hope you can join us Sunday at 10 Central Time on Facebook Live. Just go to Vine Street Christian Church and worship. Be broadcasting our worship service right there at 10 a.m. Central on Facebook Live. And I've got some good segments this Sunday for you. But this is all about our daily devotion and getting ready for a spiritual experience. So we brought back the chant of the mystics, that divine Gregorian chant. The monks are back on the job. We've got the pink sand candle with a perfect little glow. And we've got the infused green tea, the Vita Cup. At Vita Cup puts other good things into their tea, like vitamins and antioxidants, and, you know, make it all organic and healthy. But when I pray over it and then drink it, somehow it becomes infused with what I really need, which is the peace that can only come from God, right? The love of Jesus Christ. That's right, the Spirit calling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's some good green tea. Today's devotion is called Us and Them. It's a phrase we've brought up fairly often at Vine Street Christian Church, this daggone problem of us and them that we just can't seem to get over. But if we do, even when we make a little progress, it's the results are miraculous, even immediate, significant, sometimes miraculous. Us and them. So to follow on yesterday's wonderful lesson on discipleship, let's hear what Michael Casey has to say today. Us and them. Here's what he says. One of the more remarkable aspects of Jesus's earthly career was his willingness to break bread with those generally regarded as disreputable. In this way, he can be seen to have been the champion of the marginalized. But we should not forget that on occasion, he also dined with the Pharisees. This duality is a frustration if we are the sort of people who like to have everything clearly defined and set in concrete. Jesus moved between both extremes of contemporary society. The lesson that we can learn from this broad conviviality is that perhaps we need to stop dividing the world between us and them. So many of our activities, politics, sports, even religion, certainly seek to retain the adherence of their members by inculcating a strong sense of us in opposition to them. We thank God that we are not like the rest of humanity, and they thank God that they are not like us. There are so many ways of dividing humanity. Race, religion, age, gender, wealth, and about 1,000 more. We cultivate our identity by a process of exclusion and by a kind of competitiveness aimed at demonstrating that our loyalties are absolutely undivided. As a result, We live in a world of walls. And our sense of well-being depends on the continuance of these solid means of division. We see them as protection from invading hordes of barbarians waiting to encroach upon our sacred space, as if they were the Roman Empire in the final stages of its terminal decline. But they are merely material embodiments of our own inner fears. Only material embodiments of our own inner fears. Perhaps we need to follow the example of Jesus. Perhaps. And break down a few walls and learn to live as good neighbors. We can't hope to set the world on fire with our zeal for more commonality, but we can begin to take a few steps in our own immediate situation. You know, one of the best beginnings to building bridges is conversation. Just as we know that when acquaintances fall out and a great gulf of silence grows up between them, so we can narrow the gulf between us and them by exchanging a few words and permitting ourselves to discover that others are not so different. This simplest conversation establishes contact that, if it is allowed to grow, will transform the them into the us. Amen. It reminds me of one of my favorite passages in the Gospels about Jesus, the story of Jesus taking some of the disciples to the land of the Gerasenes. And as they arrive, the demoniac, the Gerasene demoniac, is on the shore having his way with things, broken chains still clasped around his wrist, almost completely naked, hair is wild, foaming at the mouth, totally being controlled by demons in his life. And everyone in the village is hyper scared and has great fear of this so-called man. And Jesus gets out and confronts him on the shore. And even as he heads towards them, the demons in the demoniac's body and in his soul know that the Son of God is coming. They already know that Jesus is going to come and do something with them. And as Jesus gets to the demoniac, he doesn't call him out for his behavior. He doesn't judge him. He doesn't consider them something other than just like he is, a man struggling to make his way through the world. And he says to him these magic words. Do you remember them? What is your name? What is your name? And begins a conversation. And by the end of that very day, the demons have been vanquished. And the former Gerasene demoniac is now a disciple of Jesus Christ and wants to join with the 12. But Jesus says, no, your testimony is needed here to tell your fellow citizens what the Son of God has done for you and what the Son of God can do for them. And you are now my messenger to explain and display my powers to those you live with. Hearing your testimony will touch many of their hearts. It all started with these words. What is your name? That's a great place to start. Not with, what the hell's the matter with you? Or, what's your problem? What's your name? What's your name? Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, friend of all. You came to bring together a divided people and to teach us to live in solidarity and peace. Help us, oh God, help us to reach out to those near who are strangers. To reach out to those near who are strangers. To extend the hand of friendship and support. And thus to find in them those with whom we hope to share eternal life. For you are our Lord and our King forever and ever. Amen.